Good morning, Texas. This is North Dakota, Mike Paulson. The Cup of Goodness program, 30 minutes of teaching from a King James Bible about the goodness of God, not the severity of God, but the goodness of God. The goodness of God as taught only through Paul in a rightly divided King James Bible. We are on day 5, I think it is, as we have been talking about music, and we're just going to talk about a quick little subject here this morning. And it is something that has been going on for quite a while. It's something I tried to get caught up into years and years ago, being the fact that I had a Christian school band and a Christian school orchestra, and I had a church choir and all sorts of groups like that. And I was able to play the piano and write music and arrange music and do things for the choirs and the groups and all that stuff. And I thought that was a fantastic opportunity to go out and witness to the world, as we all decide to do when we get a hold of what I call religion. I don't believe we get saved. I believe we get a hold of religion when we first get into the Bible stuff and we hear this preaching from the Great Commission and all these things about Jesus and all the things he was teaching to his Jews. When those things are taught to us, then we get all excited about going out there and conquer the world and to win people to the Lord and this type of a thing. And we'll do anything we can to get people to listen to the what we call the truth at the time. And by the way, just short little bunny thought here, to conquer the world for Jesus, that's exactly the phraseology that is used concerning the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6. The word conquer is the one that's assigned to him. Jesus doesn't come to conquer. Jesus conquers. He wins the world. I mean, that's what he does. But he doesn't come to conquer and to destroy like the Antichrist comes to conquer and to destroy. All you have to do is compare Revelation chapter 6 with Revelation chapter 19. Anyway, I was wanting to get the music that I had been able to do, this music world that I had brought into the church back there in this other big church out east. And it's what today they call a music ministry. And as we look at Philippians this morning, and we go back and look at Colossians, go back and look at Ephesians, and then we'll take a quick little look back into Jeremiah, we will see that music is not to be used as the source of preaching and teaching to the lost world. What we have today is we have people that are reaching out to the world, reaching out to lost people, reaching out to their friends, reaching out to their families. And they're playing the kind of music that they like to hear out there. And that's supposedly bringing them into the church because, see, now the churches play the same kind of music that you folks listen to out there in the world. But, of course, we put in the truth about Jesus. We put in the truth about God. And then people want to come and they want to hear more about this God. And then when somebody comes along and teaches you a King James Bible, right, and inviting the word of truth, and starts teaching what the Bible says about music, then they don't like it because they have been so suckered into this ecumenical, worldly music that has come into the church. That's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. Then let's go back into Ephesians and Colossians. Okay, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Is that how that goes? No, see, I'm reading from a different Bible now. I'll show you something here. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. He says that's in Ephesians. So we've always already recognized the fact that the King James Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we already see one little sly trick that justifies music. And what God wants to hear is melody. So what would be pleasing to God, were music-wise, doesn't just because it's a melody doesn't please God, but the melody is where he looks to hear, okay, is in the melody. And we go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And the King James Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We go back and look in this other modern Bible again here, and here's what we see. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. probably doesn't seem offhand here, just right off the bat here, something is all that different, but it's quite a bit different. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. No, King James Bible says, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ comes into you with wisdom. And then they say, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's where it stops. King James Bible, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the NIV, which is what I'm looking at here, says, with gratitude in your hearts to God. King James Bible says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Just a sidelight thought here. When they say, in your hearts to the Lord, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, they have gratitude. There's a huge difference between grace and gratitude. I won't even get into that time tonight, just grace and gratitude. Why would they change grace to gratitude? And then they change in your hearts to God. And the King James Bible says, in your hearts to the Lord. There's still a generalization of using the word God in this situation as compared to the Lord himself. Yes, God is Jesus. Jesus Christ is God, the Lord. That's true. But why do they want to change to the Lord when Paul is always talking about the risen Savior, the Lord, and then they just kind of slip in the word God. It kind of takes away from the risen Savior, from the Lord. So there's just little things that are going on in these two verses that Paul talks about concerning music. The point I want you to see, though, is when it says teaching and admonishing one another. And even the NIV does leave in one another. But if you go back to Ephesians 5:19, and Paul says, speaking to yourselves, making melody in your heart. The point is this. There's nothing in the scriptures that says music should replace preaching. When Paul says, speaking to yourselves, then it says again in Colossians, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are all being directed either to yourself or to the brethren, as it's sung up to the Lord. Nothing is in there about singing to the lost world. Okay? It's just that simple. Now, in order to do that, they have to do two things. I'm sure there's other things. The two things in general, when you want to take the world's toys or the world's games or the world's music and bring it into your church so you can get people to come in there, you're trying to show these lost people something. You're trying to show how to have favor with them. You're trying to let them know, listen, our music isn't any different now. What you want to wear in this church is no different than what you want to wear in the world. How you behave, how you act, what you drink, where you go, what you watch, and what you sing doesn't bother us. We're fine. In fact, we're doing it within our own church. And see, that goes back to Acts chapter 2. One of the characteristics of the early church was to have favor with all the people. If you go to Jeremiah, one of Jeremiah's comments was, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? So why are we deciding these days to trim our ways, trim those standards down, trim those doctrines down to seek love? That's what's going on. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, let me just give you some thoughts here. Then we'll get to some more music today. We got some other things we're going to get into for probably the next month or so. And then after that, who knows? Ephesians chapter 2, amen, it defines a lost person. Okay? Now, with what I'm about to read, and you think about what you're trying to do with your music, you're trying to get the world to like your music, you're trying to get them to listen and come into our church, teenagers come and listen to this music, these rock groups, they sing like the world, they look like the world, they act like the world, but they're there for Jesus. No, they're not. They're there for the Antichrist, which I've been over many times. So let's look at this lost person here, and let's see if we can ask ourselves, would they understand what you're trying to do for them what you're trying to do to get them to come into the church, local church, and they're lost? Are they going to understand anything of what you're teaching them? Listen to this in verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Strangers, they have no idea. Having no hope, and without God in the world. And if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, we see something else that describes these lost people. Their understanding is darkened in verse 18. They're alienated from the life of God, and it's through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So how are you going to show these people that are alienated from the life of God? They're ignorant. Their heart is blind. They're without Christ. They have no hope. They're without God. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Add that in there. How are they going to know what we're talking about if we want to bring them in based on music? Music is not what brings people to God. It's the word of Christ, which is what Paul says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the music can be used as a tool. Music can be there, the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. They can be there. But they're there for the brethren. And they're there for yourself. They're not there for the lost world. And besides that, that music must be pleasing to God. We go back to verse 19 in Ephesians 4. These people that were trying to reach to God through music for these people, they're past feeling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, and that is sexual, fleshy, personal, lusting desires, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You're going to try to reach that kind of a person with music? Then he says here in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Christ doesn't teach us to do that. Christ today does not teach us to have favor with all the people in a manner that you're going to try to win them over to him. He doesn't tell us to trim our ways to seek love. Now, he tells us how to deal with people. He tells us how to talk to people. He tells us how to be concerned for that other person. And we will start talking about that, I'm going to say, probably this coming Sunday. Got a list of things in the proper order of how you think and deal with another person who doesn't understand the truth of salvation and the risen Savior. What about these family members? What about these people you care about? How do we care about them? How do we deal with that? We don't just flash them the kind of music that they would like. That's my point here. Let's go to Philippians. We'll go to Philippians chapter 4. And the question I left yesterday was, is there a kind of music that pleases God? Is there a kind of music that is acceptable unto the Lord? Sure there is, and it's in verse 8. Now this is where understanding the knowledge of music, knowing about lines and spaces, every good bird does fly, F-A-C-E, all cows eat gas, every good bird does fly. Understanding the notes, understanding the tempos, understanding the chord progressions, understanding all the little tricks that manipulate people when they listen to your music. This understanding melody, understanding harmony, understanding rhythm, understanding a false balance is an abomination unto God, understanding music from a musical standpoint. I'm not talking about words. I'm surprised how many so-called Christians don't care about the words they listen to. I would really ask you to take some of your favorite songs and type out those words and type in the name of your song and type in the word lyrics, L-Y-R-I-C-S, and print off the lyrics to the songs that you like and read them. Sit down at the dinner table with your family, your children, and read your lyrics to them. Have the lyrics that your teenagers are listening to. Have them type those lyrics up. Bring them to the table. Plus, everybody read the lyrics that you like from the songs that you like to listen to. I challenge you to do such a thing. Well, we can't do that. Well, then you ought not be listening to them when you're singing. Why don't listen to the words? It goes in. Those words go into your brain. You can't stop them. And they're going to affect what you're thinking in due time. Okay. So go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And we see here where Paul says, "And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Those are the things that we should be thinking. Those are our thoughts. Those are the things that go into us that cause us to think what it is that we do think. So, what's the list? Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Can music fit that? It certainly can, because it certainly must. But then here's where we get into this big block, this big wall. If you don't understand music, if you don't understand the voice that you're listening to, then can you see why you're a barbarian to it and it's a barbarian to you? You're just like following the Pied Piper blindly. And I used to tell people back in the church in the state of Washington, if you don't understand music, and you just don't get what's going on in this world of music, and I suggest you stop listening to music. You're being deceived in a sneaky manner, and you don't even know what's happening to you. Like I said a couple of days ago, there's older people today that believe and accept and they're satisfied with, and in some cases even participate within, things that they wouldn't have thought in 20 years that they would accept, believe, and participate in. So something's happened. Something's teaching us the new modern ways, and it's getting to everybody. I really believe that there's an awful lot of sneakiness going on in the music that you listen to. Because wherever you go, there's music today. Didn't used to be that way. These things that are going into your mind, are they true? Are they honest? Are they just? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they of good report? Is there any virtue and praise there? Well, you know, I'm a realist. I realize the answer is probably no, not very much. Well, see, that's the goodness of God. That he doesn't expect us, like he says in 2 Peter. He says to the people in 2 Peter, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And that's the go back. The goodness of God tells us that, listen, we listen to something we shouldn't have listened to. We hear it all day long at work. We can keep our mind in the King James Bible. We can keep our mind in Christ. We can do the best we can as far as what we put into our ears and what goes into there, what comes out, that kind of thing. It's all going to bring the judgment seat of Christ. Does it come out with rewards? Well, that's if this music was pleasant, was pleasing to God. And it doesn't, well, it'll burn. That's if you're saved. Now remember, we're talking here about the Christian. We're not talking about the world. The world's music is the world's music. What's it doing in our local assemblies? Well, it's bringing more people into the church. Well, we've already been over that. Moses established that. He struck the rock. He's supposed to speak to it. He got his water. He got it abundantly, but it was wrong. It displeased God, and Noah paid for it. What we do today, as difficult as it is, what we listen to today, as dirty as it is, trying to find that clean stuff somewhere, if you understand the clean stuff, all that other stuff, it's just going to burn. But isn't it just fantastic that you're not going to burn? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, check it up. You're not going to burn. Your works will. The music that you play, the music that you listen to. So if you want to get caught up into trying to serve God, and if you want to be part of a ministry of truth, you've got to check out your music. You've got to. Now, we go to 2 Timothy, and as we've talked about music, and we've talked about King James Bible, we've talked about rightly dividing, we've talked about following Paul's teaching as compared to following Jesus' teaching to the Jews, because Paul was to the Gentiles, that's us. And we've talked about music now, and we're going to get into here pretty quickly what it is to please God in our day-to-day walk. What if some of you folks out there who are listening and you haven't written to me, you haven't tried any emails, you haven't tried to call me, and you're still thinking, this guy makes sense, this is totally making sense here, but I don't know what to do. What can he do for me? I can't do anything for you. If you don't understand music, that's a real tough one. I've gotten on my website, I think it's probably about 10, 15 sermons on music, as detailed as you can get. I did those sermons back in Washington. I said to my people, I said, listen, there's a couple guys here, yeah, I won't mention their names. You have no clue about music. You know nothing about music. And I'm going to try to teach you two guys what music is. I'm going to try to teach you the language of music. I'm going to try to teach you the history of music. I'm going to try to teach you what this music thing is all about. And if you two guys can get this, it will be a successful series. So if you go to the website, scatteredchristians.org, and you click on the picture, scroll down a little bit, and you'll click on the picture that's got a big Bible on it and then a trumpet across the Bible. Those are my music sermons. You click on that, and you look up in that list there. It's called Absolute Music. And you can get all the details you want. Like I say, probably about 10 sermons there that'll teach you all you need to know. So let's just say that you decide to do that. And you want to fix your music. You want to change the music you're listening to because you know that you're being hammered with worldly baloney. In your church now, I'm talking about here. Or you realize what your kids are listening to, your teenagers are listening to, and it's really deceiving them and tricking them and destroying them and making them hate God, really. And you want something to happen here. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And here's the big verse, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we see here that the preacher guy, the pastor guy, the teacher guy, is not to get into striving arguments and battles like that. We aren't the ones that light the fire. Now, if somebody lights the fire towards us, you know, we will fight the war. We'll contend for the faith. We will do what we need to do. You're going to have to do it in the tribulation. We can do it today. But when he says here, we must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I've tried not to strive in this program. I've tried to just tell you what the Bible says about this and the Bible says about that. And it's been pretty frank and straightforward, I'm hoping. But it wasn't done in a real argumentative, screaming, yelling, in-your-face type of thing. The enemy here is ourselves, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. See, our biggest enemy is ourselves. If you realize in your mind that you've heard some things that make sense about music, or a King James Bible, or rightly dividing through Paul only, not trying to do both the Great Commission and Paul's Commission, or you know, all the things that we've talked about here, you're going to be the one that's going to try to talk yourself out of it. Your pastor is definitely going to try to talk you out of it. But you yourself is going to have so much doubt because you've learned so much other stuff. You've got so much confusion in there. And then it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Have you acknowledged the truth? What is the truth? Acknowledge the truth. King James Bible, rightly divided, the word of truth. Rightly divided, the word of truth. Look to Paul. I'll tell you what, you acknowledge that and believe that is to be truth, you'll be able to see things differently. If you truly believe that. And then in verse 26, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, I can't do it for you. You have to be the one that opens up that King James Bible, starts reading it for the first time or whatever, or listening to these sermons. I'll help you see these things. You have to be the one to say no to that CD. You're the one that has to say no. No more am I taking my family to that church. We're being lied to. We're being deceived. We're being snookered by the music. We're being snookered by the soft pastor who's just loving everybody but not the truth. And we're being led and prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. And I don't want that to happen to my family. And because this program is about the goodness of God, see, God will show you the way out. But God won't get you out. You have to do that. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So if there's a growth going on in your church, you know, if there's more and more people coming and coming and coming, there's no falling away taking place there. You're being led down the wrong path. You're following the Pied Piper to the garage of the Antichrist. So those are the things that we've talked about with music. It's not the source of preaching. It's not the evangelical tool that people have made it out to be. Those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they're to be directed to ourselves or to the brethren, not to the lost world. There is a music that pleases God. You got to understand the language of music before we can even begin to talk about that. The key elements, though, are melody, harmony, and rhythm. It's not a complicated thing to learn, but you just have to hear it and deal with it. We've talked about Moses and Amos, King Saul and David and Paul. All these things about music, fantastic stuff. It's just very interesting stuff. So we'll just kind of leave it at that. Maybe something else will come up in my reading here. But like I said, there's a whole bunch of sermons on the website, scatteredchristians.org. Click down on the Bible and the trumpet, and you'll have enough music Bible studies there to last you. And there's studies there that even teach you how to understand the language of music. So there you have it. We will talk to you folks on Sunday for a Sunday morning program. And then on Monday, I'm going to show you what it is. How do we concern ourselves towards other people? How do we go about this? I mean, it breaks your heart to see people being lied to and being deceived. It breaks our heart to see people that are lost. It breaks our heart to see people that are caught up in this great commission. They're going to these churches where things are just a mess. And you try to talk to them about it, and they don't want to hear it. So what do you do? How do we deal with that? Paul will tell us that. We'll talk about that on Monday. Might even drop it in on Sunday a little bit. So we'll talk to you folks next time around.